Welcome to the Empathy to Impact podcast brought to you by Inspire Citizens. I'm your host, Scott Jameson. On this podcast, we are going to be diving into the voices and stories of students who own their learning and impact their communities. Welcome to the Empathy to Impact podcast. Today, we are visiting the International School of Bangkok, and I am very excited to be joined by two student leaders, Bloomy and Mig, who are going to be talking to us a little bit about student leadership at their school. Would you guys just give us a quick introduction and let us know who you are before we jump in?
So I can begin. My name is Mig. I'm 17 years old and I'm a high school senior.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Bloomy and I'm also a high school senior.
My first question for you guys is why? We want to start with why, kind of taking a page from Simon Sinek's playbook. Why is it important to learn leadership skills as a high school student?
Bloomy, would you like to take this one?
Okay. I'd say it prepares you a lot for the real world. What I find that I value most about learning from leadership experiences is being able to work with like a variety of different people. And I think that that's something regardless of what kind of career path you go into, you end up having to work with really diverse amounts of people. And it's such a good skill to just be able to not only work with, but also lead people like this. And I also learned that from a lot of my leadership experiences, a lot of it has been involved with having empathy for other people as well. How to lead not in a way that's more like a dictator, but rather in a way that is working with other people. And I think that's something that when you learn from a really early age, it really gets ingrained into you that. So when you go into whatever career path you end up pursuing in the future, you can apply these skills to working with other people in your career as well.
I would also like to echo on that point. I think it's very important that leadership skills be taught and, you know, students be trained to lead well before they move towards their career path. And I also think that leadership is a sort of an exercise for critical thinking. I think when you're up there in front of your teammates or students or even adults, I think it's a constant process of critical thinking, sort of analyzing what you say to the room, reading the room, reading to see whether the room is absorbing your message. And again, learning how to talk to a variety of groups of people with different backgrounds. And I think that's an exercise of critical thinking in some sense.
I really like that a lot. And I heard both of you mention some different attributes of a leader. Bloomy talked about empathy, and maybe you talked about critical thinking. What are some of the most valuable tools and leadership strategies that you've developed in this program? And how have they helped you to become a better leader?
One thing that I really took from Inspire Citizens is the ability to question well. And I think that involves learning how to listen well and listen intently to your teammates for their ideas and inputs. I think a very important attribute for a good leader to have is to be a good listener. And when you become a good listener, you know how to ask the correct questions. I think as a leader, you ask to inquire and you ask as an indirect way to get feedback and to give feedback to your teammates. And in a way, it's a sort of a feedback on you as well. I think leadership is about asking questions in the spirit of inquiry, not in a spirit of scrutiny, and asking questions so that yourself and you and your team can grow together.
Yeah. And as for me, I think one of the most valuable lessons that I found with Inspire Citizens is learning to let go and also how to delegate work. A lot of people view being a leader as something that's kind of you on a pedestal, kind of giving out orders to different people. But it turns out, at least for me in my personal experience, the most difficult part was controlling not other people, but myself and how I responded to certain like tasks being done and how I had to trust the people I was working with. And that was something that I had to work on myself. And it's something that I think leaders can work on in themselves as well, because it's something that's completely internal, doesn't have to do with anything else, anybody else, but it's just something that kind of takes a lot of time to build. And I think that was one of the most valuable lessons that I found in this leadership conference was just how to work on yourself as a leader, not just how you showcase yourself to other people, but how you're kind of putting value in yourself and your own trust as well.
I love that. I think it's so important to recognize that being a leader, there's this internal leadership where we're looking within ourselves. And then we have the external leadership is kind of that what we portray to those around us as we kind of help them level up. With Inspire Citizens, we think about global citizens and leaders as being kind of three parts. We think of it as being a meditator, and that's kind of that internal piece where we're looking inside.
the artist, where we are being creative in our ways we address problems, and also the warrior, where we are taking action in our spaces. And that comes from the work of Thich Nhat Hanh. And it's something that really inspires us just to kind of think of these different aspects of leadership. I just want us to go back to something that Mig said. And he talked about asking questions in the hope of inquiry and not scrutiny. Would you mind elaborating on that just a little bit for me?
As a leader, one thing you have to be careful of is to make sure that your opinion does not trump everybody's opinions in the room, because chances are, as a leader, you're not ever the smartest person in the room, nor do you know the right answers. I think a responsibility for a leader is to get the right people in the room. And then from that, you can make decisions based on conversations and asking questions for further clarification. Because when we have a meeting, we want everybody to leave the meeting feeling that they are clear on a goal or a path forward. For example, if you're planning a project or planning an initiative, everybody needs to have a clear image and goal that is aligned. And therefore, having a line of questioning as a way to make everybody sort of come together on the same page is a much better model than asking questions to scrutinize somebody or to sort of attempt to make them, you know, even sometimes I think questioning in a manner is that the scrutinizing somebody is scaring them in a way. And we want to create an environment where everybody is not afraid to share their opinions and are able to voice their opinions, which other people can disagree with, but disagree respectfully and constructively.
That was extremely well articulated. Thank you so much. That's exactly right. Like being able to get the right people in the room to come to the table as a listener, as opposed to someone with all the answers. And to ask those probing questions to dig a little bit deeper and bring out some of these amazing ideas that's going to allow our group to be successful. And yeah, I think that's exactly what we're looking for as leaders. And it's something we don't always see from our leaders around the world or in our schools. So very well articulated. On a more personal note, what inspired the two of you to participate in a student leadership program at your school?
For me personally, I wanted to put in as much as I got out of the program. So I felt like I also wanted to not only help lead a program, but also connect with other students who were also student leaders. Because I think that us all being in the same room and sharing different insights was something that was really special to me and really helped me learn from other people as well. So I think what it really inspired me to participate in the leadership seminar was just wanting to learn from other people as well. Not only that, but viewing it as kind of a dialogue, because I think it's very important for students to be talking to other students, not always just students and teachers. So I thought that that was something that was really valuable about the leadership seminar in this kind of format, is it allows for students to connect with one another in a way that is much more personable than it would be with like a student-teacher relationship.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think having students as the sort of the main organizer of the event, I think the hope with that framework is to create an idea where students are much better at relating to other students and therefore sort of communicating each of our experiences and stories together. I think it is a much more effective way of, let's say, you know, a teacher coming up and talk for an hour, talk about leadership when, you know, the leadership that we face as students and the leadership that they're going to take on in the next couple of months, you know, we have gone through those similar experiences. And I think that process makes for a much more relatable and effective session.
I love the idea that you guys are talking about of students learning from other students and being able to learn collectively and collaboratively. And I think you're right. You can have kind of different conversations and a different group dynamic when it is students teaching students and students collaborating together towards a common goal. So I think that's really cool. And I really love how this really creates internal capacity at your school. And our leaders are helping to train more leaders, and we get more and more students involved. And we think about this in terms of, instead of a pyramid, I think Blumy talked about this a little bit, like a very kind of dictatorship kind of leader where you have one at the top and the pyramid going down. And we think kind of about a flattened model where it's more like a constellation. And we have all these different leaders throughout our organization, and everyone kind of feels empowered to be a leader and to drive change and take action and make our communities better. And I think that's really amazing. How do the leadership skills and tools you're learning transfer to your role as a leader in your clubs or councils at the school?
I think I became an accidental leader. I never thought that I would be in this position. I'm part of the high school's technology council, and I was with the organization since grade 7. So I've been with the organization for more than 5 years. The organization was led by a bunch of underclassmen, and there was a gap between them and us who were grade 9s. When they left, we had to sort of take up their position, and I sort of didn't know what I was doing because it was just natural that we were the older in the organization and they trusted us, because also I've been with the organization for quite a long time then. But I think I'm an accidental leader in a sense that I never prepared to take on this job. But a lot of the things that I took from Inspire Citizens and also my experiences to just, you know, go for it and don't be afraid to make mistakes along the way. I think the mistake that I made was thinking way too much about what I'm going to say and the decisions that I'm going to make, because I think that being a leader is also a kind of experiment where you try some things and they don't work and you try other things and they might work. And so it's a trial and error process. And I think it becomes more natural as you progress along the journey.
Yeah, as for me, on the contrary, I think my role, like I was in student council as president, and that was like definitely the traditional stereotypical leadership position. And coming into that, I kind of expected it to be the stereotypical leadership position. But what I found out was that like through being student council president, like it was mostly people skills that was the most important for me, not anything technical. I thought I was going to be doing a lot more logistical work, and that was just not the case. It was a lot of talking to different people and just mirroring what you want to see other people do. So like I had to like really get my grade excited for an event coming up. So I had to be excited. And I found that that really like changed how I acted as well, because I had to be always conscious about how other people was perceiving me. And I still think that what's important about being a leader is you got to do what you preach. You can't just not follow your own rules. You need to actually show other people that this is what I want you guys to act like. And I think that that's so important. And so that was definitely the one big lesson that I got, not just from participating in the conference, but also in leading leadership conferences and showing like the leadership skills that I'm teaching myself. Like I didn't want to just be teaching skills that I couldn't do myself. So I had to also emulate those skills for other people. And I think that that's something that's so important to learn, is how to carry yourself well and how to be conscious of what you're mirroring to other people.
I think it's really interesting how you have both taken kind of a different route to your leadership positions and just how that journey has kind of shaped your experience. So thank you so much for sharing that. Blumy, you talked a little bit about people skills as a leader, and I want to zoom in on that a little bit. How are those interpersonal skills and communication skills and the ability to build relationships within your council or your club, why are those so important for a leader to have?
In a lot of cases, leaders can be quite disconnected just from the role of being a leader itself. You know, the saying goes, it's lonely at the top. It's kind of the feeling of if you're a leader, then you kind of work on your own and you kind of dictate what other people do. But I think it's really important to just kind of get down there and like not position yourself in a way that you're on a pedestal and isolated from everyone else. So I think having people skills, being able to communicate clearly with other people and to not just have view them as members of your club, but also in a way as your peers, as your friends, as people that you can also learn from, to recognize that that kind of relationship exists outside of a leader and follower kind of traditional relationship, to recognize that it's more of a network than it is like a food chain. So I think that to be able to interact with different people, just being able to recognize the small nuances, like being able to read people's tones, being able to tell if someone doesn't want to do something, some small things like that you kind of pick up through experience, is something that's so important in making sure that you're building a community people feel safe to participate in, and building a community that can actually evolve into something that's greater than yourself.
Yeah, I really agree with you there, Bloomy. And I also think, as you said, an experiment that I tried with my council is instead of standing up to do a presentation, I tried sitting down with my teammates. And I think that's really helped them to become much more comfortable. And I think as I sort of came into this job and have experienced this for, you know, up to a few months, I realized that care in leadership is very important. And sort of as a leader, you got to lead that culture of care within the organization where you check in with people, you know, have small talks with them about their weekends, how have their schoolwork been, you know, sacrificing those 5 or 10 minutes at the start of a meeting. I think it's very important just to set a scene and where people are comfortable with one another and they can convey their, you know, if they're having a bad day, they're free to talk about it in here because this is a safe space where people are ready to listen to you. And I think crafting that culture of care is so important in being a leader.
So amazing to listen to the two of you talk about this. And you are wise beyond your years with a lot of the things you're saying there. And just how important these relationships are within any organization in order to be effective, whether we be a school or a company or a club or a council, it all really comes down to this idea of relationships. And as a leader, if we can recognize that, and to kind of come back a little bit to something Bloomy said earlier about empathy and what Meg is saying about just kind of having that just quick personal interaction, that personal connection to make people feel comfortable and safe in that space can really, really go a long way. Meg, you mentioned earlier about you felt that everything had to be perfect as you were kind of starting out as a leader. And you realize now it's a bit more kind of trial and error, and it's okay not to be perfect. And I think that we often, from the outside looking in, we sort of see the results, but we don't see the process. And how were you able to kind of move past that aspiration for perfection to something that's a little more maybe comfortable in the way you address problems in your club?
I think a strategy that I used and try to share with my team members is to go step by step and just perhaps not to try to jump the gun too much when you're trying to create a project. Just take it easy, go step by step. For example, if you're trying to create an event, start by identifying the gaps in your community, what events will go well with the community, what sort of the audience you're working with. So instead of focusing on the end result initially, just progress step by step. And that way, the process does not feel rushed. And when you have a structured way of moving towards a project, if something were to go wrong, you can identify easily at which point something may have gone perhaps not as good as it should have been. And so having that model where you are very processed in a way that you conduct your meetings, your project cycles, and things like that, I think was a model that I tried to use in my organization.
Yes, if I could add on to that, I would say that learning that I didn't want a perfect event or a perfect project, I wanted one where people were learning. So I wanted the journey to mean as much as the end product. And so when I really shifted kind of my focus instead, not on what the end product is going to be like, but what are people getting along the way, when I kind of shifted my focus to that instead, it really helped me kind of embrace the flaws that my project had. Because of course, my product's not going to be picture perfect, but it's something that we all collectively worked on. And it's something that we can all be proud of because we know that we put our efforts in. And even with the flaws, that's something that makes our project something personal to us. So it's not something that you can just take out of a textbook. So I think that learning to embrace the flaws of projects and the mistakes you make along the way to kind of know that this is something that makes the project yours and yours only, and that's something to really be proud of.
I also think that it's kind of fun as a reflection when you laugh at your past mistakes or laugh at, you know, some of the things that you did wrong in the past. I think it's a very, very fun way of interacting with your club members, having those chill, informal conversations. Yet the most meaningful reflections come when you laugh at your past mistakes and you recognize how to sort of learn from things that you did in the past.
For sure. There's a Japanese philosophy that we really like at Inspire Citizens. It's called wabi-sabi, and it's the beauty of imperfection. Listening to you, this is what I'm hearing, is there's a beauty to things not going perfectly and to embracing the process and enjoying the product, whether it be flawed in some way or not. And I think it's really cool listening to you talk about your experiences with that. The two of you are both seniors this year at ISB. how are these experiences and skills and tools that you're picking up as leaders, how are those going to transfer to the next stage of your journey?
That's a tricky one, because I'm not sure if I'm going to be in a leadership position at all. That's something that obviously it's not guaranteed. It's not like, oh, for sure, I'm going to go into leadership in college. But I think that you don't necessarily have to be in an official leadership position in order to be a leader. Like, the skills that I learned from my leadership positions will transfer onto life in general, just outside of any traditional organizational structure. So I think that, like I said, like, people skills or having empathy, being able to communicate clearly with others and work collaboratively with others is something that I can use not just in work life, but also with like friendships, with how to communicate clearly in my relationships, things like that. I think those are the skills that are really going to carry over into college life and further than that as well. So I don't think that I'm going to be using these skills, not necessarily always in a traditional structural sense, but also just with my life in general.
I think these leadership experiences have humbled me a lot as a person. I think when I first came into this position, I thought I knew everything. But now that I got to interact with my friends, with a lot of the underclassmen, a lot of older people, and be engaged in these discussions has humbled me a lot. I think these lessons can be used as something, you know, as simple as living with a dorm mate, where, you know, it's only perhaps, you know, the two or the three of you, but you are so closely knitted in this small space that it's almost impossible to survive without getting along with each other well. And so, you know, these people skills and ability to listen and care for one another, I think, can be transferred to something very big, like leading an organization, but can also be used in something very, very small, and but yet a very important part of life.
Such a great point. These skills have so many applications in a lot of our interactions, whether we're in, like Lumi says, a traditional leadership role or not. We can take these skills and use them in so many different situations. And it's going to be very advantageous to have this experience kind of going on to the next level, just as you're talking about. What impact do you hope to have as a leader at ISB?
Personally, I want to make people feel supported, and I want to make people feel like they too, like, obviously not everybody. And I've heard this a lot, but some people say that not everybody has to be a leader, and that leader isn't always the best thing ever. Like, not everyone needs to aspire to be a leader. And that's just how society works. And I think that I want, as someone who has been in leadership positions, but has also been in non-leadership positions, has also been the person that was like kind of following the herd along, I know from both ends that I want, as a leader, to make people who are working with me feel supported in their environment, to feel like they're sure about their ideas, to be able to communicate clearly with me, and to be able to just work in a sense where they're not feeling like they have any less power or any less agency in the project, I think is something that I want. And I really want to make people feel, like I said, supported and enjoying their experience working on a project together as well.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that, Blumi. I think our goals as leaders is to try to make at least somebody feel like they are welcome. And I think when you make somebody's days better, I think that is success. I mean, down the road in 10, you know, 20 years time, where you meet your friends, they're not going to remember you as the president of this club or the vice president of this club, but they're going to remember for the rest of your life how you treated them. And that one moment you welcome them into their conversation and listen to their ideas. And I think it's very important to impact individuals on a very individual level. And, you know, trying to create an environment where they feel safe and supported, like Lumi said.
Amazing. I love it. That just sounds, it's fantastic. Just looking at being able to, just like you say, have this impact with someone. They're not going to remember your role, but they're going to remember how you made them feel. I think that's so cool. Thinking back on your experiences, what's something you're grateful for?
For me, I am so, so grateful for having my supervisor here with me, you know, talking and touch basing with them so often. I mean, I have a teacher advisor who is pretty close to me. We have coffee almost every morning together. And, you know, having those conversations in the morning, whether it be about coffee or running or something that is completely not related or related to the organization, having that support system that an adult that you trust, I'm so grateful for having that mentorship, because as Bumi said, it can definitely feel lonely at the top sometimes, and you feel like you're always trying to run this meeting, or sometimes you might be overwhelmed, or sometimes you might be unsure of what to do next. And I think having an adult to talk to and guide you along the way is so important.
Yeah, for me, I'm really grateful for my friends. I've met some of my best friends through the activities that I do. And I think that a lot of times I get really muddled in the head and super hyper-focused on a project and kind of forget that there's kind of life outside of that. So being able to have friends in the workspace as well, to be able to kind of have like the best of both worlds, is something that really keeps me grounded, keeps me like remembering that, oh, there's more to the life than just working on this one project and making sure that one project is perfect. And so I'm really grateful for having my friends to be able to laugh, like Mick said, laugh about the mistakes that we made along the way, laugh about our work, but also to just enjoy our work in general. So I'm really grateful to have friends who share common interests with me, who are able to work so well together, but also just hang out and have fun outside of work as well.
Listening to you both, and this is something that's come up so many times in our conversation already, is this idea of relationships and how those relationships are so important. And it's great to hear both of you kind of reflect on that and think about the gratitude you have for those people who have been with you on this journey. Thank you so much for sharing that. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our podcast listeners that hasn't come up in our conversation?
I think perhaps like my key takeaway from all of this, and sort of a message that I can leave to perhaps future leaders that are listening to this, is to just go for it. Sometimes the best things come from accidents and just being sometimes carefree about what you do, because sometimes you don't have to think so much about what you do. I mean, school teaches us to plan about this and then plan about the plan and plan about the plan again. I think sometimes beauty comes from mistakes, and beauty comes from the fact that you're not prepared for something, or you just let something flow. So that's my very simple message.
Yeah. And if I could leave something behind for the listeners as well, is that one day you're going to be a leader to someone else. Like, you look up to so many leaders, one day somebody else is going to look up to you. And that's so important. Like with MUN, I was terrified of public speaking, but I knew I wanted to get a leadership position because I wanted to be a leader in a public speaking activity who was terrified of public speaking. Like, it was just kind of like how much that representation kind of matters for other people who are looking up to you, that it is possible to kind of be that person one day. And if you're terrified, like Meg said, go for it, because being terrified is exactly what a lot of people might need to see. They might need to see a leader that's vulnerable. So some of your traits that you might see as flaws, it would actually be something that are strengths and something that people can relate to and look up to you.
Some great advice. And I love that call to action. Just go for it. Bumi and Meg, it has been absolutely delightful to have a chat with you this evening and to meet you both. You are two very inspirational young people, and I am very grateful to have the opportunity to talk about your leadership stories and share them with our podcast listeners. It's been a great conversation, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Hi, this is Scott. If you were thinking about what student leadership might bring to your school, I certainly couldn't have said it better than Bloomy and Meg. I love how they talk about the different skills and dispositions of a good leader, thinking about things like empathy, critical thinking, active listening, and those interpersonal skills that allow them to develop relationships with those in their groups that they lead. I love how they talk about creating a culture of care where everyone feels valued and everyone has an opportunity to showcase their strengths, to bring an organization to a higher level, and how those relationships within that organization are what make that experience so amazing. If you're wondering how you might bring a program like this to your school, check out the resources in the show notes from Inspire Citizens about our Future Now student leadership program. And click the link to book a discovery call with Inspire Citizens to talk about how we might co-create a program like this at your school. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. Please do take a moment to subscribe and leave a review for us on your favorite podcast platform. And also share this episode in your professional learning communities and on your social media feeds. Thank you for making a difference in the lives of your students and the people in your community.
Thank you for listening to the Empathy to Impact podcast.